The following episode of Three Fearless Questions was produced in 2019. It's important to acknowledge that since then, a lot has shifted and changed within our society. However, the Brand Lab believes there are many lessons to be learned and sentiments to be shared within these pre-recorded sessions. Thanks for listening.
Hello, and welcome to the Brand Lab's Three Fearless Questions, brought to you by the Brand Lab, whose mission is to change the face and the voice of the marketing and advertising industry. This is Ingrid Saba, your Brand Lab alumni host, and I'm here today with our special guest, Melody Hobson. Melody Hobson is a nationally recognized authority on financial literacy and investor education. She has served on the boards of several companies, including JP Morgan Chase, QB, Estee Lauder, DreamWorks Animation, and the Rockefeller Foundation. In 2019, she received the Woodrow Wilson Award from Princeton University, which honors alumni whose careers embody a commitment to national service. Hobson is the co-CEO of Ariel Investments, a company she has led for over 20 years and a member of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences. Melody, we are honored to have you join us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So jumping right in, fearless question one. Melody, when was the first time you became aware of your own race?
I have to say I became aware of my own race at a very, very young age. I tell the story about my mother really making it clear to me that as a black child, I might experience some hurt feelings or some difficult moments. And she told me really early, and I've told the story, you will hear it in my TED Talk, about coming home from a birthday party when I was like, I don't know, maybe 7 years old, and my mother asking me, how did they treat me? Because I was at a school where there were very, very few black kids. And I was really confused. I was like, what is she asking me? Why would people treat me differently? And her sort of very direct and unemotional line after that question was, they will not always treat you well. And she made it very clear to me that because of my race, there would be times that people might, there might be slights, both intentional or unintentional, conscious or unconscious bias. And so because of that, she wanted me to know. And she wanted me to know also, which she made very, very clear to me at a very young age, that there would be no excuses for my lack of success, that I couldn't pin anything on race as a reason that I did not succeed.
Wow. How does that shape how you talk to your daughter about race?
Well, I started off really, my daughter is a mixed race. Her father is white and I'm black. And from a very young age, I let her know that she was a black child. And that was somewhat controversial because my husband kept saying, well, she's white too. And I said, but in our society, if you are even a little bit black, you're black. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to make sure that she really understood that. So I spent a lot of time in those early days. She's now 6 years old, but mm-hmm. even before then, saying, you know, you're a black child. Your mama is black, your baba is white, but you're a black child. And so that has been a part of our conversation. And my daughter will say things that are just so funny. She'll say, you know, she went to school once and she saw someone who worked at the school, and she was like, he's black like us. So it's just really, you know, she's aware. She was 5 years old when she said that.
That's incredible. Like, especially at such a young age to, like, be a partner with her in that awareness of, like,
yeah,
her own identity.
Yeah, and also in a way that it's not, you know, it's a great thing, something to be celebrated.
Absolutely. So fearless question two, when was the time you felt included or excluded?
I'm going to use the positive. I remember feeling incredibly included when I started working at Ariel, and that's the firm that where I still work after 25 plus years. It's now, I think, 28 years. And the reason that I say that is because my business partner, now the co-CEO alongside of me, who started the firm, I just remember him saying to me, you're going to walk into rooms, I was 22 years old, he said, with people who have very big titles who make a lot of money, but it doesn't mean they have better ideas than yours. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear your ideas. And that was telling me that my voice mattered. It was a really critical time in my life. And so in a very formative time in terms of how I thought about myself when I walked into business meetings and into rooms. And so I will always, always be grateful for him telling me, you belong there.
Absolutely. That, I feel like, means so much to have a partner in that who can advocate for you and validate your voice and, like, tell you that your voice matters. Do you have advice for people who are maybe in spaces that aren't getting that recognition or support?
Well, I think that if you're not getting that recognition or support, you have to understand that, you know, you don't wait for that to happen to you. So you don't get permission.
Mm-hmm.
you know, it is one of those things. Yes, he told me that, so it was incredibly affirming. Mm-hmm. But without it, that's also not an excuse. You know, I have a voice, and my voice matters, and my ideas matter. And intuitively, I have to tell you, I knew that. It was only, you know, icing on the cake was to be able to work with someone who also felt the same way. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure the outcome would have been very different if John had not said that to me, because in my own internal compass, I believe that about myself.
Absolutely.
I gave a speech once at Princeton where I talked about landing on campus, and I said when I went to Princeton, I was the only person in my family who'd, you know, really gone to college. And I said, when I got there, and I sort of waited to make a joke, I said, I felt like, and I sort of wait a beat, I totally belonged. And it was like, you know, people were expecting me to say that I didn't fit in. Mm-hmm. But I always had the idea that you belong to be here. You did the work. You have ideas, et cetera. John only helped to say he valued that, but it wouldn't have changed my own value in terms of myself. And so if you're waiting to be affirmed, I think you could wait a long time in our society. So I wouldn't.
Oh, wait a very long time, actually. With that, do you feel a responsibility in your role to affirm others and, like, welcome others and be, like, an inclusive force, or?
Sure. I mean, that's in my DNA, so absolutely. I mean, I think it's super, super important, and it's something that I have pushed for in terms of the personality and the tone inside of my firm, Ariel, mm-hmm. but just inside of my life. I like to work with lots of different kinds of people from different backgrounds, countries, places, different kinds of interests. That's just very, it's very affirming for me. And as a curious person, it makes life more interesting to me.
Absolutely. And sorry, one more question. Do you think the rarity of your company and the culture, like, it sounds almost effortless the way you talk about it. Like, how can other companies bring that same orientation to themselves to be less exclusive?
So I want to make sure that I underscore that, you know, diversity is not effortless. It takes an effort, and it takes a real commitment and intention. Mm-hmm. And I think it's all worth it. And having diversity around you can often be harder because it's easier to be with people who think exactly like you and believe what you believe. But that's not of interest to me. Mm-hmm. And so what I would say is I think that what I would say to other people is if you understand and value if you understand and can see the value of diversity, you will ultimately have a better organization.
Moving on to our last question, our fearless question number 3, how have you seen diversity impact your creative process?
I think diversity makes me more creative. So having all of these different points of view around me, I think it allows me to think outside of the box. And I always joke with people, why is it a box? So, you know, this idea of being able to look beyond yourself and your own experiences, I think leads to, that's like a shot in the arm for creativity. I think it's one of the best one of the best ways to enhance whatever creativity you have is surrounding yourself with people with different points of view who push your thinking and push your perspective in new directions.
Absolutely. Well, Melody, thank you so much for your openness and honesty and for taking time to answer the Brand Lab's 3 Fearless Questions today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Have a beautiful rest of your day.
Bye.
This has been the Brand Lab's 3 Fearless Questions, produced by students of the Brand Lab who participate in classes and internships aimed at changing the face and the voice of the marketing and advertising industry. To continue this conversation, use the hashtag 3FQ and learn more at thebrandlab.org/fearless.